Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Really quickly before we dive into our roundtable, I do have a contest for you. It's for a musical. Tickets to the musical SpongeBob the Musical happening with Windsor Light Music Theater. Incredible. A family four-pack of tickets could be yours to the Friday, May 10th show. Text the word pineapple and your name to 10800 right now. As for tickets, a four-pack of tickets Friday, May 10th to SpongeBob the Musical. It opens May 3rd, runs May 3rd through 5th, May 10th through 12th. At the Chrysler Theater. It's an amazing show. The talent in this show is incredible. Details at windsorlight.com/sponge. But text the word pineapple and your name to 10800 right now. Standard message rates apply, and best of luck to you. So, we talk about road safety quite often, pedestrian safety, cycling safety, infrastructure that makes it safer. We hear it's awful every time we hear about a pedestrian or a cyclist or anyone being involved in an accident. And there's a really interesting and important report that's being launched tomorrow. It's being launched in person in Toronto tomorrow, or virtually April 25th. It's Oversized Danger, a report on the lethal dangers of pickups and large SUVs to pedestrians and cyclists, led by the Coalition to Reduce Auto Size Hazards, CRASH, a group of 16 road safety and community groups supported by the University of Windsor's Center for Cities and the University of Toronto's Mobility Network. And it's our topic of discussion today on our city building segment. Big shout out to Dr. Annika Schmidt from Center for Cities for help with putting this segment together. And it's going to be a great discussion too. The panel discussion will be of interest to policymakers, advocates, media, of course, academics, and all of us who care about the safety of our streets. The report launch and symposium, like I said, happens tomorrow in person and virtually on the 25th. Joining us to talk a bit about it, Toronto-based bike lawyer and lead on this report, Albert Cole, joining us on the phone. Albert, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Good morning, Dan.
Great to talk to you. So what prompted the organization of this event, and what are some of the key objectives that you hope to achieve through it?
The main thing is I think a lot of this particular issue, large vehicles and the danger they pose to pedestrians and cyclists, and in fact other, you know, smaller vehicles, this has been an issue that's been around for about 20 years. But it's one of those issues where a lot of people love to complain. You'll see it on social media. You know, we'll see those images of a big pickup with 10 kids in front of the a pickup that can't be seen, and that will get a few hundred likes or reposts. But what hasn't happened is we haven't seen a mobilization of community groups to actually get something done. So that's what motivated our coalition to get together. In other words, we didn't want to wait for someone else to take action on the evidence that we have, the research reports going back 20 years. What we wanted to do is to actually make concrete recommendations. And as I say, I mean, 20 years ago, we had academic studies saying that these big vehicles are a danger. And specifically, you know, one of the things that people always say, well, you're safer in one of these big vehicles. Well, and that turns out, of course, number one, from a collective point of view, we're all worse off because we know, for example, for every life saved by one of these big vehicles, we're losing 4 lives. This is based on U.S. research among other drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians. So we're all losing in that way. And, of course, in the context of the climate crisis, we're all losing as well. So what we wanted to do is get together, and we've got groups stretching across the province, including in Windsor, Bike Windsor Essex, and Citizens Environment Alliance, that got together and decided to take action.
And I love what you said about, you know, we see so much noise about this on social media, and that's great that awareness is being spread and the word is getting out there, but we need action too. And I love that this is a step beyond just shouting on social media about it, because essentially that really is all it equates to, is getting word out and shouting. But if nothing happens, if no action is taken, nothing changes, and there'll just be more posts about this in the future, which is what we don't want. And I know the report is still going to be, it's kind of going to be released tomorrow, and we'll get more details on that, but can you kind of provide a brief overview of you know, what you were looking for in this report, and what the report was kind of what the report was looking to show?
Yeah, three things. Number one, summarize the evidence, the research, and there's some excellent reports, largely in the U.S. But in the course of collecting those reports, we were also surprised that the Ontario Minister of Transportation came out with its own report very quietly and said, 41% of vehicles, 61% of vehicles, 61% of crashes on the roads, fatal crashes, are the result of crashes with pickups and large SUVs. But only 41% of the vehicles are pickups and large SUVs. So we had that report even here in Canada. So number one, summarize the academic research, and that's, of course, the job of advocates, is to take the research and run with it. Number two, we wanted to look at best practices from around the world. Mm-hmm. For example, in Paris and in Montreal, where higher fees are now being charged for parking. I mean, that's hits people in the pocketbook, so they notice that. But number three, not simply to collect the research and to look at best practices, but to make concrete recommendations to every level of government, federal, provincial, and municipal, to take action. And we've got specifics of what those recommendations are tomorrow.
Love hearing that, too. And the research conducted, again, I know the report is embargoed till tomorrow, so I want to respect that. But, how extensive was the research conducted for this report? And, what methodologies were employed or looked at to gather and analyze some of the data in this report?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. One of the things that, as I mentioned, there's a 2004 report. That's how long this information has been out there. And that report made clear the fact that pickups and SUVs are a hazard, not only to other drivers, but to pedestrians and cyclists. So I contacted that professor, and I said to her, "Aren't you a bit disappointed? It's been 20 years, and you haven't seen much action." And she said, and Annika would laugh at this, she said, "Well, that's academics." And of course, that is the job of advocates. So I'm not going to comment on specific methodology.
Sure.
Those are in the specific research report that academics have done, largely in the U.S., but as I say, that information has been summarized by our own Ministry of Transportation. And we've met with federal officials and provincial officials. We just haven't seen any action yet. So it's our job to put these studies together and then to push for action, which is precisely what we're doing with this report.
And I love that. And that's the important part, is push for action. Like you said, the social media is one thing. Even the report is one thing. So here's the findings, here the evidence. And, I can't wait to kind of dive into this a bit further and look into what the report actually goes into. But after that, when it is all out and it's on the table, how do we plan to move forward and raise awareness about some of the findings of the report and advocate for potential solutions to address some of the safety concerns raised?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we hope to achieve is to educate the public. In other words, it's not just what people think or say. It says, here's the evidence. So we want to educate the public. But we also want governments to acknowledge the problem. When we met with federal Environment Minister last year, at least for staff of the minister, all we got was boilerplate language. The minister is very concerned about this problem. And we haven't got any action. So the federal government obviously has a big role to play here because they approve vehicle safety. But sadly, both here in the U.S., when they approve and assess vehicles for their safety, they're not looking at pedestrians and cyclists. So that's one area where the federal government could intervene also in terms of advertising. And we've got the NHL playoffs coming up. It's going to be wall-to-wall advertising for pickups and large SUVs. And we know, of course, they're being marketed for, toughness, adventure, vanity, those sorts of things. Well, those things don't play out very well on our public roads. So and the key thing as well, we want people to look at this and say, well, I might be better off personally in the vehicle, but I also have to remember that unless I'm always in my pickup truck and unless my family members are always with me and my neighbors and my loved ones, well, those people are, of course, are going to be pedestrians at some point or perhaps even cyclists. So it does affect all of us. And we want people to recognize that even though they might think it's in their personal interest, there are consequences for all of us. And the important thing here is, I don't want to disparage the auto industry, but I do want to say that it's the role of government, because the government is to act in our public interest. And the public interest here is to stop this vehicle arms race. That's what it's been called in the literature, and that's certainly what it is, where everyone is getting a bigger vehicle. Well, I know your program, Dan, you talk about equity. Well, who is able to arm themselves with, you know, 3 tons of metal and rubber and upholstery? It's certain people, whereas others, if you're walking to the bus stop or if you're riding your bike or if you're in a smaller vehicle, well, those people are paying a heavy price. We know that in any crash with these large vehicles. And children particularly. So the research shows that a child hit by a pickup or SUV is 8 times more likely to die in a crash. Well, that statistic alone should get us to act. We haven't seen that yet. I think it's partly because of the power of the auto industry and all this advertising that convinces us to buy these large vehicles, but we're all losing, and that's why we want governments to intervene.
It's interesting. You mentioned previously in your comment, you said you don't want to disparage the auto industry, which 100% I get it. Do you think some of this too, and I've noticed this anytime there is advocacy for infrastructure for public transit, for active transit, for bike lanes, often it gets almost lumped with your anti-car. And it's a very, very, it's not, from my perspective, as I understand it, it's not anti-car, it's pro-safety, pro-community. I feel like there's a bit of a blurry line for a lot of people there, and that needs some clarification.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really what we're talking about, when the auto industry, and I'm actually happy to disparage the auto industry sometimes, but, you know, they're marketing these vehicles for roughness, you know, toughness,
right,
adventure. Well, those things play out poorly on our public roads, and it's really for governments to intervene. So, for example, we know that these blunt, high front ends on vehicles and on pickups, for example, I mean, these things are being sold because, you know, soft lines don't work as well in advertising. So we want to show, well, you're going to be really tough when you drive one of these vehicles. Well, sadly, that's precisely what is killing people in crashes. So the higher the vehicle. So, for example, you know, our most popular vehicle here in Canada, the Ford F-150, is about 1.4 meters high, the front end. Well, the U.S. research shows that if we reduce that front end simply to, you know, 1.25 meters, we'd save each year, this is in U.S., 500 lives a year, in other words, 5,000 lives over 10 years. But if we reduce that further, we're talking about, you know, far more lives. So we can save lives. We know how to do it. It's a simple design issue. So in this case, so we're not saying, you know, I mean, we've sort of come to the point where we say, well, you can drive anywhere, anytime. Well, we're not even sort of questioning that in this report. We're saying, well, where did the drive anywhere, anytime come to include and in any sized vehicle? And so that's what really we're questioning, is this arms race of vehicle size, these huge vehicles, 3 tons. And let's be serious. I mean, these vehicles are not being used to pull boxcars on trains,
right,
or on tracks, or to get to the top of a mountain.
Right.
These vehicles are largely being used to buy a coffee, to buy groceries.
Right.
But they are adding to the danger on our roads at the very time when, for any number of reasons, we want to get people out walking and cycling, taking transit, and in addition to that. You know, people often complain, well, we have no place to park. Well, these vehicles are taking up more precious urban space because of the parking size that they need or are taking up, and also more space on our roads. So there are all kinds of reasons, and causing more deterioration on our roads because of the heavy weight of these vehicles. So there are any number of reasons, even beyond safety, where we should collectively push for action and demand action from our governments.
I think it's fascinating, and you really nailed it too with the marketing. I used to study marketing, and you know what image or what lifestyle is a product trying to sell. And it's true, when you think of a big truck commercial, there's usually a big shot out in the wilderness, in the rugged wilderness on top of a mountain, always, and people are hanging out there, and it's all adventure seeking types. And you're absolutely right; that's a great analogy. Usually, I don't know many people who go out to the mountains to drive around. Usually, it is to drive to the local coffee shop and drop your kids off at school. I find that kind of thing fascinating. I find this report, I can't wait to dive into it and read it. If somebody does want to attend, I know it is happening tomorrow, 12 to 3 in Toronto, but there is a virtual event as well, I believe. If somebody wants more information, best way to get a hold of how to get in on that Zoom meeting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll post online the connections on CKLW. But yeah, tomorrow is the in-person event, a symposium. We've got a media event in the morning, and then next week there'll be online registration for a talk by Professor Tyndall, who's done a lot of research on this in the U.S.
Excellent. Albert, a pleasure talking with you, and a great report. Can't wait to read the full report. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. That is Albert Cole, a Toronto-based bike lawyer, and again, the Oversized Danger Report on the lethal danger of pickups and large SUVs to pedestrians and cyclists. For information, you can find a link to the Zoom if you follow Center for Cities C4C on Facebook. There's a link right there. You can also go to windsorlawcities.ca for more information on this symposium, which is happening virtually and in person. Really interesting report, and I'm curious to dive in. More on the way. Going to talk a bit about gas prices rising and more. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.